Welcome to the Love Evolve podcast. This is Leanne, and I'm a psychologist and relationship coach living in Los Angeles. I work with people one-on-one all over the world, and my sessions are a combination of coaching, therapy, breath work, and energy clearing. And I have found that this is a very powerful combination, especially when it comes to really healing our relational patterns and setting the stage for a really happy, healthy relationship. So if you need support, reach out. You can book a free 30-minute consultation call with me. There's never any pressure to actually work together privately unless you want to, and I can share that information. But during the 30 minutes together, I will give you as much support as possible and email you a ton of resources afterwards. So sign up. There's a link in the show notes. Okay, welcome to episode 33, which I am calling The Legacy of Distrust. And this is going to be a really hard one for me to record. The last time I said that was episode 9. That title was The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships. And because the thing that they have in common is me sharing my own personal story. And so while I'm not necessarily somebody who keeps that under wraps, and I do share bits and pieces of it here and there, I just am not somebody that really likes to be center stage, and I don't really love the attention to be on me. Something that's probably pretty common for people who are in the field of mental health, as I am. And yeah, I just prefer helping other people. But the lesson that I've learned over the years is, especially the female clients that come my way often connect with me because they have seen bits and pieces of my own journey that they can relate to. And so seeing that I have done a certain amount of my own inner work around love, sex, and relationships in particular, and I am now in a vastly different place than I was when I was younger, struggling with many of the same issues that the women who come to me are, like low self-worth, difficulty with boundaries, being afraid to rock the boat, not being in relationships that are reciprocal and giving much more than I was receiving, lack of boundaries, the list goes on and on. And so many of the women who I work with now, one-on-one in my private practice, kind of fit that sort of profile. And I know how to help them very well. And so they also are drawn to me for the reason that I have the lived embodied experience of actually knowing exactly what that feels like. And so I can really relate to them. And so this particular episode today, I will be actually reading a piece of writing that I did this morning that I spent, some time on. And I wasn't expecting to have all of that come out, but it happened. And I was originally just going to publish it on my Substack, but I did get an intuitive hit that I should just turn it into a podcast episode because it is an important piece of writing. And I think it will be more impactful this way. And so in a little bit, I'll actually just read this piece of writing to you. But the reason why I'm sharing my personal story, and it even expands back to my family line, in particular my mother line, is because I've been asked recently by some listeners of the podcast to share more about my personal story. And although you can find some of that in episode 9, which is called The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships, you can also find some of it in episode 1, where I talk about how I alchemized the hardest thing in my life, which was my divorce. About 7 or 8 years ago at this point. You can find out a little bit about my story there. But I'm realizing that, I don't think I've actually fully fleshed out all of it in such a public way before. I do share a little bit when people come to me and they do group classes. And I also share a little bit with my one-on-one clients when it's relevant and it helps the work. But I am not really looking forward to sharing this story because it's really personal and it, to be real with you, it brings up stuff. And although I've done a lot of work on myself, I am still very human. A couple other reasons why I wanted to share this podcast with you today is because it's a really good example, not only of how this thing called the war on love, sex, and relationships that I have been talking about here and there over the past couple years, it's also an example of intergenerational trauma that really keeps some of these programs at play to keep the divide between men and women what it is. And so one of my underlying motives for the work that I do is to heal the relationship between men and women. And so this is a deeply personal account of some of the reasons why there is damage and there's trauma there. And I know that there is hurt on both sides, but this is my own unique experience. And although while it is my own unique story, I've heard versions of this from many, many, many of my clients in a variety of ways, shapes, and forms. So anyway, this episode is going to be hard for me to record, but I'm going to do my best. And as always, if you have any comments or even questions, or you want to share maybe your own story with me, I am happy to hear. And so you know how to contact me. The information is in the show notes. Okay, and so let's get into it. I call this piece of writing The Legacy of Distrust. My mother was conceived in the summer of 1941. My grandmother was 16 years old. Her boyfriend wanted nothing to do with it. His family blackmailed my grandmother's family, forbidding them to ever reveal the father's identity. And so my mother grew up believing that her mother was her sister. She thought her grandmother was her mother. And I'm not sure when she learned the truth of all of this, but she grew up not knowing anything about her father, and nobody would talk about it. Fast forward to when my mother was in her 70s. Her half-sister contacted her, and she had no idea who this woman was. She had no idea that she had half-siblings. This woman told her that her father was on his deathbed, and she invited my mother to come say goodbye to him. And in this case, it would be a hello and a goodbye. So the only problem was that he had dementia and had no idea who she was. And so this is the first time in my life that I really saw my mother grapple with something emotionally. So despite living a tough life and marrying a man who was abusive, my father, she really handled life's challenges with grace, and she did what she had to do to get by as a single mom. She rarely complained. But the shock of this invitation to now meet her father face to face stirred up something inside of her that was never healed, let alone really acknowledged within her. She later found out that her father had actually lived just a few blocks away from her when they were growing up. And so it really begs the question, how can a man knowingly walk through life, fully opting out of any responsibility for his child? And what does it take internally to just completely shut off any care and concern for a daughter that you have created? What was my grandfather's story and what really happened? There's so much that I probably will never know. But from the perspective of my great-grandmother, my grandmother and her siblings, my mother and my siblings and I, the takeaway was clear. Men cannot be trusted, cannot be relied upon, and cannot take responsibility when it really counts. And the burden falls on the woman to clean up the mess. This is a belief that is and was carried consciously and unconsciously to varying degrees within all of us in the family. And from what I know about my mother line and my father line as well, this pattern goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. And so this belief was reinforced within me in a much more direct way, with my father being such a mess and abusive, creating chaos and harm in my household growing up. He treated my mother in the most disgusting way, and I grew up witnessing the gaslighting and abuse and dysfunction whenever he was home. She left him when I was 5 or 6, but he had already abused me sexually and emotionally, starting from a very young age. And so again, I learned that men are scary and dangerous and can't be trusted. And although my mother left him when I was small, he obviously was still a part of my life and continued to create harm up until, honestly, a few years ago. And so still though, that was just a part of me, that part of me that unconsciously couldn't trust men. But like most women, I longed to be loved by men. And so this internal push-pull thing has been present for most of my life. And despite having many loving relationships with men, even one that lasted almost 20 years, I still have to watch this inside of me, this push-pull thing, despite doing so much healing work on my relationship with men and my father. And it's interesting, despite my family history, I have never been in what I would call an abusive relationship. Part of me vowed from a young age that I would never be in a relationship like that. However, many patterns that were dysfunctional still did play out, especially in the relationship with my son's dad. And when that relationship ended, I had to do some major heavy lifting around healing my relationship with myself and learning what a truly healthy relationship even looked like. So I've spoken about that time a lot before, and it was absolutely my darkest chapter when that relationship ended. And yet it was an absolute awakening, so now I see it as my greatest blessing. But it was complete and utter hell to go through. And so actually, it's not entirely true that I've never been in an abusive relationship. I was in an abusive relationship with myself for most of my life. Feelings and thoughts of self-hatred dominated my internal landscape until I was 16 and then turned to drugs and alcohol to further the self-destruction. Underneath it all, I can see that I had an unconscious death wish. I could have died many, many times from the lifestyle that I was living. I am honestly surprised that I didn't. I knew things had hit rock bottom when my utterly debaucherous friends kept telling me that I needed help. And yes, in that crowd, I was always the one that was completely out of control. My response to that was to self-isolate, and I slipped into a dark place alone. That was my junior year in college. Years and years later, I realized that one of the subconscious beliefs that played out big time in my relationship with my son's dad was a hatred of the feminine. So on a surface level, I resented that my sensitivity, my heart, and my intuition was not honored in the relationship. Whenever these things popped up and I slipped from left to right brain, there was gaslighting. Any thought or feeling arising from the heart or intuition was not valid. It had to be backed up with a bulleted list of logical arguments, and I never wanted any of them. My self-worth was continually eroded over the years and really hadn't been that strong to begin with. So over the course of our time together, I also abandoned my spirituality because God, spirit, just wasn't acceptable. And all of this was learned from his family upbringing and was playing out pretty much as a mirror for his mother and father's relationship in ours. And what I didn't realize until later was that his hatred of the feminine was just a mirror for my own. And so what I call the mind virus of misogyny was implanted from the start in my life. And I saw that women were to be discarded and men can go off and have all the fun they want, wreaking havoc and harm without care. And I actually played out this internal misogyny, especially in college. I hung out with all guys and engaged in a lot of promiscuity. I was very disconnected from my feminine and was really hiding it. It was just this weird thing where, you know, I have obviously my father's DNA, but also my mother's, right? And so it's all playing out in this female body. And this is something that I still am really kind of grappling with internally. And although after my divorce, I did major inner work in all areas, especially with healing my relationship with my femininity, because that came in loud and clear, even though back then I had no idea what it meant or why I was being led in that direction. I also really spent a lot of time healing my relationship with being a woman, my physical body, so much. But despite all of the inner work that I had done, this specific pattern of internalized misogyny and self-hatred and just this sort of, you can say victim tagging, still lived in my energetic field. And I know this because it ended up playing out in a really hidden and destructive way in my last serious relationship. So he and I were together for 3 years. It was very serious. We were engaged to be married. And from all appearances, this relationship was absolutely beyond anything that I could conceive of. Beyond my wildest dreams is what I used to call it. The honeymoon phase with he and I never ended. We were practicing advanced masculine polarity, definitely putting the principles of conscious relationships into practice. There were many true and good parts of that relationship, but at the end of it, before he was supposed to move in with my son and I, he admitted that he had betrayed me 14 times over the course of our time together. He claimed that he had an addiction. There was part of him that felt horribly about what he had done, and I'm so glad that he told me. But there was another part of him that was kind of robotic, emotionless, and honestly entitled. He wanted to work things out, and we tried, but ultimately I had to let that one go. So yet again, in the aftermath of the ending of this relationship, I turned towards myself seeking answers. I asked myself what inside of me attracted the sin. Very, very hard thing to do. But I've learned how to do this over the years. This is my part of my process of alchemy and how I learn and grow from all of my experiences. And so asking myself this question, what inside of me attracted this in? I almost immediately found the thing that pulled it into my life. Despite years of therapy and healing, especially around the sexual abuse and all of this stuff in my childhood, that imprint was still living in my energetic field. I speak about this in more detail in episode 9, called The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships, if you want to go back and listen to that one. And so I knew that that particular energy signature had pulled in this relationship with a man who had that dark sexual energy that was mixed in with addiction. So from there, a whole can of worms opened. This was the beginning of 2022. It was so intense because not only was I healing from the ending of that relationship, from the betrayal that had happened, literally like all of our plans got derailed. I mean, I had family flying in from Sydney, Australia, like for the wedding. I mean, it was just on so many levels, it was just completely yeah, just completely absurd. And so I had done enough work before that to understand a little bit of the energetics, to understand a little bit of what's going on in these subconscious realms. And I had already been doing breath work and working with my teacher, David Elliott. So I had enough, I guess you could say, information in addition to, you know, you trusting my intuition to know that that particular energy signature that hadn't fully been cleared in my energetic field had pulled this relationship in. So this is why we attract certain people and situations into our life. It really is the subconscious that is pulling things in. We have to be really aware of that. And so when I say a whole can of worms opened, it was just major. Like, it was really nonstop that first 6 months of 2022, when it was kind of like I was simultaneously trying to heal from that relationship, but also this huge body of work came in that I called the War on Love, Sex, and Relationships, from the veil that was lifted from me to go from having taught about relationships on a very, very high level. I guess you could say I was teaching about the love and light side of relationships and the beautiful potential and expansiveness there, to now lifting the veil and seeing kind of the dark underbelly, the shadow side of love, sex, and relationships that honestly I really didn't care to look at before. And so I'll get into that body of work in a minute, but with regards to my own personal, like, healing and energetic clearing, I was grateful to be able to work with my teacher, David Elliott, on clearing this energetic imprint through breath work and working with him one-on-one. I did a specific type of clearing breath work every single day for 2 months straight, and it made all of the difference. This is one of the reasons why I have to literally bow down and thank breath work for what it's done to me. It's not just trendy and fun. For me, this has made a huge impact on my personal life. So it was daily clearing over a 2 month period with that energy clearing breath work. And the benefit of that diligence was such a dramatic shift in my attraction for my ex-partner almost immediately. 2 weeks in to doing this daily clearing, my attraction for him turned into repulsion. And from there, it was really easy for me to leave the relationship. This is why I now work with women to recode their sexual attraction. I speak about this in episode 31. Just a few back, that title is called Why Women Are Attracted to Bad Boys. So, like, with this aftermath of this relationship, I really was not messing around with healing and really taking this thing seriously. And so I had a voracious appetite for not only healing and clearing this thing in my own life, but also being able to get my hands on all of the information on what was really going on so that I could help other people. This is basically how it works. My personal life has informed my work since 2017, when I started to actually speak out openly in the women's circles that I was running back then about some of the challenges I was facing post-divorce. And it took real humility to be able to start speaking about that. But all of a sudden, women were just flocking to me. And yeah, that really changed the whole course of my work. Before that, I was working in a very general way, helping people, yeah, with just basically everything. And then it was 2017 that I really shifted to specialize in love, sex, and relationships. So again, I wasn't messing around. I was really, like, deep, deep, deep into the rabbit holes, learning everything that I could about this thing, continuing my own healing. And yeah, I just had pure fuel inside of me that was really, honestly, it was born out of, like, the anger and the rage. And that really fueled things for me. In addition, I don't have to just think about myself. I have to think about my son with every single relationship that I get into. And the fact that this had a personal impact on my son directly, beyond just me personally, lent a sense of urgency to healing and clearing this thing. And so again, during this period of time, I had a really intense 6-month period of major, major downloads and synchronicities. And I don't use those words kind of lightly, leading me in exactly the right direction, both for myself to continue to heal and the work that I do in the world. And it showed me the larger energies at play here from a spiritual perspective, zoomed out from the 3D world and the human experience. And up until that point, like I said, I was kind of teaching the love and light side of relationships. I already knew that I was here to heal the relationship between men and women. But when the veil was lifted and I was forced to look at all of this dark stuff, it was not pretty. What I saw was very, very dark and disturbing. And even to this day, I have to set boundaries with kind of, I guess you can say, staying in that viewpoint, or, you know, with the lifting of the veil, I only have a certain amount of bandwidth to actually be there. And then I have to take breaks because, yeah, it's really disturbing. And so with teachers like Eve Lorgan and her work on the dark side of Cupid, highly recommend that book. I also worked one-on-one with her. Lisa Renee's Sexual Misery Program, I mean, her whole body of work is prolific and vast and seemingly never ending. And Mark Passio's understanding of the hijacked feminine and masculine. And of course, my own teacher, David Elliott's work on the dark sexual parasitic energies. Now, I was just so blessed to be able to have access to all of these bodies of work that really just came in all at the same time. So those are only a few, but those were kind of some of the major sources of helping me to put the pieces together and really kind of verify what my intuition was telling me about some of these darker sexual energies at play. Again, if you're interested in learning more about that, go back to episode 9, The War on Love, Sex, and Relationships. I get much, much more into that. And so there's a whole rabbit hole of information there, but essentially there is a spiritual war going on, targeting a lot of things. But in terms of the work I do, it is a spiritual war on healthy love, sex, and relationships. So last year in 2022, I was knee deep in that work. The podcast covers some of it, as I mentioned. But interference and distortions and intentional manipulation of healthy human relationships is very much alive and well. It's working through intergenerational trauma, which you can see in my own story, hijacking of our healthy sexual energy and expression. It's working through massive media and matrix programming, literally all the external input that comes in from all of that, leading to the rise of moral relativism, this mentality that everything's all good, there is no good and bad, we need to just accept everyone for whatever kind of behavior they do and not shame them. Very, very dangerous. And so many other channels. So I'm not going to get into that deeply here. I do have a document where I've compiled some links and resources to this information if you want to kind of start to dive down into the rabbit hole. It's a mixture of external sources and also my own work that I've done around the war on love, sex, and relationships. Okay, so where are we now? Where am I now? Since all of this has unfolded, I have kept my eye on the collective relationship between men and women, getting really curious on what is going on. I honestly believe that men and women will overcome this struggle and heal the divide. I see a future where everybody understands that relationships are these incredibly powerful vehicles for healing and growth in partnership. And practicing conscious relationships is the norm towards this end. In fact, they won't even be called conscious relationships. People will just understand the purpose, the inherent purpose of relationships, and use them accordingly. By the way, if you want to learn more about conscious relationships, I teach about this. This is how I work in all of my relationships with family, friends, partners. And I also help clients with conscious relationship principles, which is basically using the vehicle of relationships to work with all of your quote unquote stuff that comes up so that you can heal and you can transcend childhood wounds and actually move into a state of expansion and growth together. It's hugely powerful, and this is actually the purpose of relationships, for them to be mirrors for us. And so until people get up to speed with the actual purpose of relationships, there will continue to be people who continually just get triggered and you know, get stuck in conflict and just really are not using relationships in a conscious way. And so I also, beyond really learning, healing, and growing through conscious relationships, I also see men and women cleansing and clearing the energetics of the masculine and the feminine from any distortions or inversions that have been programmed into them. And so really clearing, cleansing the vibrations and the frequencies of the feminine and the masculine so that these two energetics can be worked with consciously in divine union. Huge topic. This is what I call level 3 divine union partnership that is the path to ascension or enlightenment or wholeness. And so working with these two energetics within relationship for the inner union piece is for the purpose of polarity integration and really towards the path of enlightenment. I already have lived embodied experience of this path, and I'll continue to walk down it. This has been a path where I really feel there's no turning back. There's some paths that people walk down where there is kind of a joke where once you start to walk down it, you can't ever go back. And this is one of them. I feel like once you've seen the things, you can't unsee the things. And I understand now that everything has unfolded perfectly in my life. I really do. I understand that life has given me exactly what I needed to do this work in the world. I'm devoted to my mission. And the fire inside me fueling this work will not subside. And so I wanted to share a little bit of my story with you today so that you can understand where my work is coming from. I do not do this work because it's fun or cool or trendy. I do this work because literally I was born for it, and it's part of my mission. And so I must be devoted to that. My personal life is intricately linked to this work that I continue to do. There's much more for me to live and experience, heal, and alchemize, both for my soul's evolution and also for the greater good. I really feel that I'm blessed, supported, and protected in this work. When people come to me for support, it is just as much medicine for me as it is for them. It allows my life to have sacred purpose and meaning, far beyond victim mentality, which is so easy to slip into. And believe me, I was in that for many, many, many years, most of my life. And so my prayer is, may my life and work continue to support healing the relationship between men and women and ending the victim-victimizer cycle. And so what I'll just share to wrap up is, you know, I recently made a post on Instagram about this victim-victimizer cycle and, you know, the way that this age-old dilemma, you can call it, you know, the war between good and evil. The way that we have to end this is really through the work that I'm doing. And so I'm working on the piece with so-called victims, Mostly the women that come to me are former versions of myself who have a lot of wounds to heal, that have been in relationships where they are not treated very well. We always can trace this back to childhood trauma and abuse. And so working with these particular women is really the process of healing their self-love and self-worth, knowing about healthy boundaries and how to implement them, to be able to practice clear, open, truthful communication without fear of rocking the boat, because you have a deeper devotion to yourself and your own needs than you do to staying in relationships that don't have your best interest in mind. You learn how to become strong and solid internally. And so in the post, I was writing about how, you know, this victim-victimizer cycle, from what I can see, is victims are usually people who come into this world all heart. They don't know about boundaries because this is just not something that is natural for them. They are open-hearted, they're givers, and as I always say, in a perfect world, they would be honored and supported, and they wouldn't be manipulated or taken advantage of. But unfortunately, that exists in the world, and we need to get real about what's happening. So this process of really balancing having that open heart with bringing in the spine, which is all the work that I do with women, to be able to protect ourselves when necessary, not all the time, but not being naive and thinking that everyone is a good person who's not going to hurt you. We don't live in that kind of world. That is just a reality. And so the other side of the perpetrator or victimizer, if you can say these are people with all spine and no heart, then they need to integrate the heart. And so this is very much integration of both, right? The integrated man, the integrated woman. There is a purpose behind why women have gone through a period of empowerment. There is a purpose behind why men have actually learned to get in touch with their emotions and their heart space. It's exactly what I'm talking about here. This is what we call the integrated man and woman. And so when we have both the healthy masculine and the healthy feminine, and we understand how these complementary energies fully support each other, then I believe that we can end the victim-victimizer cycle. Because when you have women who actually have that spine, when you have men that actually have that heart, by definition, the polarities are neutralized. And so this is the work that I'm devoted to. There's many, many different things that I talk about in my work. Hopefully now you can see how all these things tie together. I'm going to wrap up this episode, and I hope that you found it useful. I hope it gave you a greater understanding of who I am, where I came from. And I know that my story is not unheard of. Like I said earlier, a lot of different people have variations on this story. So this is one of the reasons why there's currently hurt and trauma. I'm speaking from the perspective of the women. But again, like I said earlier, I know that men have hurts too. And so the more that we can really just speak our stories, learn our lessons, and grow, the more that we can move on and come together. Because I believe ultimately that is exactly where we're being called to. That's exactly where we're headed. And so I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, if you have any comments or questions, reach out. And I'll see you in the next episode. If you enjoyed this conversation, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps these conversations to get out to more people. I really appreciate it. And if you're somebody who could use support with love, sex, and relationships, I work with individuals, couples, and run groups. And so you can DM me on Instagram or just go to my website if you're curious about how we could work together.